Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you. This morning, we find ourselves revisiting the story of the Annunciation, which can feel a little strange to us as we stand here in Lent. We come to this point in the story lectionary. For those of you who have not been reading along with us, this is a wonderful time for you to join us in reading through the Bible in a format called the story, because we are just beginning the New Testament. There are copies downstairs if you'd like to join us. But interestingly enough, there are so many beautiful insights that God gives to us when we encounter these exceedingly familiar passages in an unfamiliar time. Doug Kielitz, our organist and liturgical master, you might have noticed that he's very proper, he reminded me last night that we actually celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation on March 25th, because of course the angel would have appeared 9 months before Jesus was born, not 1 week, which is normally when we have this gospel reading. So it all works, despite us not thinking that through very clearly. One of the things that I love about the parallelism between the readings this morning is the exceeding humanity that we see in both Abram and Mary. You don't have the readings in front of you, sorry. We're going to fix that by next week. In the Genesis lesson, we see Abram turning to God and begging him for some answers. Even though 3 chapters ago in Genesis 12, God has already promised Abram numerous descendants and all the land that he could see, it hasn't come true yet, and Abram is really anxious and worried. So we see Abram turning again to God in this lesson and saying, God, what is going to happen? And God replies again. We actually have a beautiful dialogue between Abram and God this morning, one of the few passages in the Bible where we have dialogue between humans and the divine. And God replies to him yet again, as I said to you, you will have all of these descendants. They will be so numerous as the stars in the sky. All of this land will be yours. So God answers the what question. What is going to happen? But as human beings, that's never good enough for us. We want to know how. How is this going to happen? How am I going to have descendants? My wife is old and barren. He is an old man. And if he doesn't have descendants, all of his property and wealth will leave his family. So what do we as human beings do when we're faced with uncertainty and worry? We desperately try to control it. We flood in and we overfunction and we do everything that we can to try to make it happen the way that we want it to happen. Because God has not yet shown Abram where these descendants will come from, what does he say? Oh, Lord, what will you give me? I continue to be childless. The heir of my house must be Eliezer of Damascus, a slave's child. He's trying to figure this out. How is this going to work? How, God? And God, in his infinite patience with Abram and with us, responds. And we have this unusual passage about turtle doves and rams and burnt offerings and all sorts of things that don't sound much like an answer. God basically says, well, how? Well, bring me some pigeons and some rams. That's how. But despite all of that, Abram believes. And I love, there's two passages here that I think are so beautiful. He believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. So even though Abram comes to the state where he does believe these promises, even though they haven't yet shown up, even though he has no certainty about how this will happen, even though he believes it, it is still so difficult for us as human beings to live into those times of uncertainty. And so we're told that that night, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended on him. even when he's been in dialogue with God, even when he has this divine promise repeated twice, even when he's come to believe, having that knowledge sink into his heart will take a little bit longer. It is such a vulnerable feeling when you're in those uncertain times, that the nighttime especially can be times of terrifying darkness. We see a parallel structure unfolding with, interestingly enough, the very same questions of God, what's going to happen and how with Mary? When the angel appears to her, she was terrified. A teenage girl who has an angel appear, we don't know exactly what that was like, but certainly highly unusual, and telling her that she will bear a child. What will happen? Well, you'll bear a child, the Son of God. What could be more obvious? And she listens for a while. I mean, you can imagine her trying to take this in, but then ultimately she says, how? How can this be since I am a virgin? In the face of something that you never could have imagined coming to, I think how is one of the most honest questions that we can ask. But again, like Abram with the response of, oh, here are some turtle doves and some rams and all of that, which doesn't really actually answer it, we see the same thing with Mary. How will it happen? Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Another one of those, what? That's no answer at all. That's even more confusing. And yet, in the same way that God was promising Abram that he would be with him, God is promising Mary that the power of God, that the Holy Spirit will be with her, even in what seems so confusing and so impossible to her. And also, like Abram, after this exchange, after this promise, when he falls asleep and descends into the terrifying darkness, the angel of the Lord departs from Mary. So much of the space of our Christian daily lives is spent after we've heard the message, after we have a sense of where God is leading us, but with absolutely no clarity and certainty about the how. Perhaps in terrifying darkness, perhaps after the angel of the Lord has departed. That is the space where we live so much of our lives. So how do we stand that space? Mary, I think, sets for us one of the most beautiful examples of walking in the darkness, in those spaces of uncertainty that has ever been issued on the lips of any human being. We saw Abram's response, which was to dive in and to try to control, to figure it out, to exhaust himself, thinking about all of the different possibilities, to worry, what if this, what if that, how can that be? And ultimately gets to that point of just complete surrender. We've all heard that irritating phrase, let go and let God. There is something about getting to that point of just sheer exhaustion and surrender that we have all experienced. As hard as it might be for us to try to figure it out, we all get to that place of, I don't know, Lord, your turn. Mary shows us that instead of having to go through all of those contortions, all of that seizing control, all of that overfunctioning, all of that worry and anxiety, and ultimately coming to surrender, she shows us that we can surrender at the very beginning. The second you begin to feel that pit of uncertainty and wondering, this seems so impossible to me, how can this happen? The second we feel that how question rising in us, our response can be fiat, the Latin, let it be done to me. according to your word. This is not a fatalistic acceptance of how our lives is unfolding, but the most profound expression of faith and trust. Let it be done with me according to your will. There is nothing that we can do during those how times. How is this going to happen? There's nothing that we can do but turn to God. So I invite you, in whatever those places of uncertainty are in your lives, and we all have them all the time, whether it's a big life situation around medical issues or finances or relationships, or smaller issues like, will I make it off Cape into Logan Airport in time? How will this work? The second you feel those questions rise in your heart, this Lent I invite you to say, let it be done with me according to your word. And then just see. From that space, Mary experiences extreme joy and glorifies and magnifies the Lord. It is in that place that we can find the ultimate peace of God. This is my prayer for you and for each of us this holy season of Lent. Amen.
Amen.